And Robert Stearns with us this morning from Eagle's Wings Ministry. Robert and I have sort of circled each other for about the last 15, 16 years, going all the way back to Springfield, Missouri. Robert is an author. He's a speaker, a worship leader, ministers all around our country and all around the world. And I think Robert is most known for the amazing ministry the Lord has given him to the nation of Israel. The Lord has given him great favor with political leaders in Israel and people who are leaders in society and culture. Every year there is a great celebration during the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. And for the last 15 years, Robert has been honored to lead that. He started leading that when he was about 18 years old, and he's been doing that for about 15 years. Robert is very, very involved with Christians United for Israel, and he is the founder of the annual Day of Prayer for the Peace of Jerusalem. It is a great privilege to have him. I want you to stand to your feet and give your best Harvest Time welcome for our friend, Robert Stearns.
Amen. Good morning. This is the day the Lord has made. We're rejoicing in Him. Just take a moment right now. Close your eyes, open your hearts. If you're comfortable, just take a moment and lift your hands to the Lord. And for the next 30 seconds, would you just take a moment and just speak out, sing out your praise to the Lord? You know, He doesn't really just want to hear the worship team. He wants to hear you. There's a praise that only you can lift. There's a song only you can sing before Him this morning. Just close your eyes, lift your hands, and just begin to bless His name right now. Amen. Well, it is an honor and a blessing to be here this weekend. I have just so appreciated the time that the Lord has given us together, and all that God's been doing in these 11 services we've had since last night. And but we save the best for last, and here you are. But it's been a great blessing to sense the presence and purpose of the Lord in the midst of this house, and how God is doing something special here. God is doing something unique in this house. And I hope you understand the blessing it is to be a part of a house that welcomes and cherishes the presence of the Lord, that preaches the Word of God uncompromisingly, that has its mind set not on the past but on the future of all that God wants to do. And I know you already know this, but you are massively, massively blessed to have Pastor Glenn and Denise Harvison leading this house and moving forward this vision. They are a blessing from heaven for you guys. So it is awesome to be with you here this morning. And I've had to get through these services from last night and then the early morning service at 6:45 this morning and all the various services we've had. But Pastor said, oh, just hold on till the end and we'll get there. And so here we are. And he said, of course, this service doesn't have the time constraints, you know, of the last services. He explained to me that you guys get out usually around 3:30, a quarter of four. So I've got all the time I need here in this service right now. I do have a word on my heart that I believe is going to be a blessing and an important word for you today. I believe that the Lord has ordained our steps here this weekend. I don't think I'm here by accident, but that the Lord is allowing us to share together today around His word on purpose. And so I'm excited about sharing this word with you. Let me invite you to find paper and pen, if you would. Everybody find paper and pen. If you don't have paper and pen, just look next to you to somebody who does and smile at them real big, and they will share with you. If they do not share with you, please report them immediately after the service to Faith at the desk in the back, and Faith will put them on parking lot duty for the rest of the summer. But everybody with paper and pen, please. On this Father's Day morning, I'm going to share a message for us that I believe will speak to us both individually and corporately. So please find your Bibles, take your Bibles out, and just quickly turn to wherever you feel led. No, as I pondered the message that I wanted to share this morning, I want to share, it's going to seem a little unusual on Father's Day to share what I'm about to share. But we're going to share a message this morning that I believe is absolutely relevant to the moment that we're living in right now. I hope all of us understand that we're living in a very unique, tumultuous, challenging, difficult time in history. We're not living in an easy moment in history. Great shaking is happening in every sphere of society globally. Financially, environmentally, governmentally. It's very difficult to find any sector of society globally that really is walking in a great amount of peace right now. But in the midst of the kingdoms of this world being shaken, I am so glad this morning that we are a part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We are a part of a kingdom that is advancing stronger and stronger as we look for the appearing of the Lord. We're a part of a kingdom that doesn't fit into the kingdoms of this world. You and I are in the world, but not of it. And this morning, I want to remind us of some principles. We're going to look at the life of a hero of Scripture who had to face very difficult and uncertain times. And we're going to extract principles that I believe apply to our lives today. And they're not the wisdom of this world, because we don't walk according to the wisdom of this world, but the wisdom of God. Can you say amen? Amen. See, let me remind you all that we are crazy people. Can I remind you of that? Now, I just saw about 9 of you hit your spouse and say, I've been telling you that for years. No, we are crazy people. We believe this book. We believe this book. We are those who believe that this book is not a book of stories and myths and fables and fairy tales or even good principles. We believe that this book contains the Word of God that is the sure foundation for our times. It is the solid rock upon which we build our lives. Can you say amen? Amen. And so according to the wisdom of this world, what we believe is foolishness. But we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken, that secures our hearts in the midst of this challenging time that we're living in. And I want us to look at principles this morning from the life of one of Scripture's heroes that will speak to us today. So are you there in your Bibles? Where are you? I didn't tell you where to go yet. Boy, you are one prophetic church you just got right there. Page 454. We're going to look this morning on Father's Day at the life of Esther. Now, I need to talk to the men for a moment, because the moment I announce that I'm preaching about Esther, what happens is the guys just kind of check out. They say, oh, great, that Walt Disney movie, you know, that it's a chick flick. There's weddings and frills and lace and handmaidens and beauty treatments, and the guys just, you know, kind of check out. So men, listen to me for a moment. Esther was involved in court intrigue and arranged for the political assassination of her enemies. She is the James Bond girl of Scripture. All right, men, so I need you to see Esther in a fresh way this morning, all right? It's not just about the fairy tale romance. I want us to look at the intrigue and the strategy of what happened in her life. Powerful lessons that we're going to look at today. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Esther. We're going to look at principles that surprisingly are more relevant for us today than you might at first imagine. There was nothing about Esther that would indicate that we'd be talking about her 5,000 years later. There was nothing about Esther that qualified her for greatness or a part in God's historic plan. In fact, in the natural, when we look at her life, there were several things that would point, that would indicate that Esther probably would not be much of a success. A few things when we look at her life that would tell us that she probably was destined for great mediocrity. Number one, Esther was an orphan. Jot it down. Esther was an orphan. She never knew the wisdom of her father's counsel. Esther never knew the kindness of her mother's embrace. Esther didn't have siblings who were there to encourage her and strengthen her, and brothers and sisters who were encouraging her on. Esther didn't have a functional family. If Esther could have written the script of her life, her family situation would have looked a lot different. And if truth be told, across this beautiful sanctuary this morning, many of us, if we could have written the script of our lives, there's some pain in our family background that we wish wasn't there. There's some things that happened in our families that we wished had turned out differently. There's no pain like family pain. There's no difficulty like family difficulty. Esther experienced the loneliness, the rejection, the insecurity, all that came along with looking and seeing other loving, kind families and saying, God, how come that's not me? God, how come my family story isn't like hers, isn't like his? Esther was an orphan, and that difficulty was something that she had to deal with on a daily basis. Many of us understand what it's like to have pain in our family situations. Number two, Esther was a woman. Esther was a woman in a time in Persia where women's rights were not the great bastion of women's rights that they are today in that part of the world. You're getting it, you're getting it, you're getting it. No, if women's rights today in Iran and Iraq are what they are, 5,000 years ago, it was not exactly the hotbed of women's rights. Gloria Steinem had not hit Persia. Esther was a woman in a man's world. Esther couldn't go get a job. She couldn't go launch a business. She couldn't go back to school for her master's. Esther did not have options for her future. Did you ever feel boxed in? Do you ever feel like your best years are behind you? Do you ever feel like, God, I really don't know what is going to become of my life because I'm kind of stuck over here. This happened and that happened, and God, I'm kind of stuck here. Esther was stuck. The only way out of Esther's predicament would have been for her to arrange a good marriage, which would have required a dowry from her non-existent parents. When Esther looked at her future, it was not a future filled with hope. It was not a future filled with lots of possibilities. She didn't have a lot of options. Number three, Esther was a Jew at a time like too many times in history, at a time like too much today, being a Jew was a dangerous thing. Esther felt the sting of racism. Esther felt the sting of being an outsider and being looked down on for her ethnicity, for her racial background. Esther understood what it was to be an outsider. So the point is, brothers and sisters, my wonderful, crazy friends, there's nothing in Esther's story that tells us we should be talking about her 5,000 years later. So if you walked in the doors this morning, and you've got baggage, and you've got difficulty, and you have things in your life, and you think, Lord, did you forget about me? God, how come you saddled me with this set of circumstances? I'm here to tell you this morning on the authority of God's word, God loves taking ordinary, average, everyday people with all kinds of problems and writing them into his story. That's the God we serve. That's the God we serve. Well, Esther, We know the story. King Artaxerxes grew upset with his wife Vashti, and Vashti was deposed. She exited off the stage, and all of a sudden we had American Idol Persian style. All right, it's right there in Scripture. Randy and Paula and Simon, they were sent out all across the kingdom. No, it really is. It's right in there. The messengers of the king went out, and they went state to state, province to province, looking for the most beautiful women to come in to the king. It's right in there in Scripture. They'd come in front of the judges. Well, Esther had one thing going for her. Esther was drop-dead gorgeous. She was a 10. She was a knockout. The Bible even says that she was beautiful in form. How risque of Scripture to put it right in there. That's what it says. And so she comes in front of the judges, and the favor of God is on her. And Esther, little, lonely, insecure, unschooled, unconnected, I don't know what I'm doing with my life, Esther, wins the golden ticket to Hollywood. Can't you just hear Randy? You're going to Hollywood, baby. And Esther gets up out of her circumstance, and she is transported, and all of a sudden, little Esther is in the palace of the king. Silk sheets, baby. Beauty treatments, manicures, pedicures. The women are salivating, I understand. Everything she could imagine. Baby, it was Walmart to Neiman Marcus in a day. And Esther is there, and all of a sudden, her questions, her fears about her future, who's going to care for me? How is my future going to look? How am I going to eat? How am I going to survive? Can you imagine? All of that is settled in a moment. In a moment, she is there. And she's in the favor of the king. It's like a lot of us when we first meet the Lord. We first connect with the Lord, and he answers some of the deep questions about security and identity. We're basking in the blessing of God. But what happened to Esther is what happens too often to you and I. Esther failed to realize that she had been blessed to be a blessing. She hadn't simply been blessed just to have these things heaped upon herself. No, she had been divinely positioned for strategic purpose. And the blessing of God and what God had brought her to was not simply to bless her, though that's part of it. But he put her there for a great purpose. Harvest time, can I tell you something? Phase two is not about a building. Phase two is not about just building a nicer sanctuary or having nicer seats or having things a little better for us. Folks, the last thing in the world Greenwich, Connecticut needs is a nice local church. I pray you will never be successful at being a nice local church. What Greenwich, Connecticut needs is an embassy for the kingdom of God, declaring light in the midst of darkness and advancing the purposes of God. See, divinely positioned for the purposes of the Lord. But Esther is here and she doesn't realize that. She just thinks that it's all about her. You know that worship chorus. It's all about me, Jesus. All this is for me. Over there, off a bit in the distance, was Mordecai. Mordecai was her uncle. Mordecai's over here in Susa. It's far off in the distance. And there's storm clouds brewing in Susa. There's evil lurking. There are circumstances coming together over here in Susa that threaten the Jewish people. Haman has launched a plot to wipe out the Jewish people. And Mordecai's over here and he's trying to get Esther's attention. And he starts sending messages to Esther. Esther, your people are in danger. Esther, things are really bad over here in the Middle East. Over here in Susa or Gaza or Lebanon. Esther, are you listening? Bride, are you listening? And Mordecai tries to reach Esther, tries to get her attention, but she can't hear him. Oh, she hears him, but she doesn't hear him. Why? Two things. The same two things that keep the church in the West from hearing the Mordecai cry of the Spirit today. Number one, distraction. Write it down. Distraction. Esther was distracted with the stuff. She was in the palace and there was beauty treatments and handmaidens and clothes and preparations and all the blessings of the stuff. And we're here today. We've got PTA meetings and soccer camp and text messaging and iPhones and internet. And we are overwhelmed with the stuff. And we're not hearing the Mordecai voice of the Spirit of God. She was distracted with all of the stuff. Number two, she was in denial. She was in denial. And I don't mean deriver. Sorry. She was in denial. She didn't want to believe it was really that bad. Or if it was that bad, she wanted to believe it was so far away, it would never touch her. So terrible what's happening over there in the Middle East. Just so terrible. What does that have to do with us here? Everything. But it's so far away. You are so wrong. I love you enough to tell you that. She was in denial. Mordecai sent message after message after message. And Esther said to Mordecai in chapter 4, she said, Mordecai, you don't understand. Verse 10, verse 11, everyone knows that if you go into the king without being summoned, there's one law, you'll be put to death. And it's been 30 days since I've been called to go into the king. So she says to Mordecai, Mordecai, if I get involved in your situation over there in the Middle East, you don't understand, my life could be in danger. What did Esther not understand? Her life was already in danger. Do you hear me? Her life was already in danger. She didn't realize it. She was in denial about it. Why? Because she had a false sense of security that the finances provided for her. And so she failed to realize the connection. And I'm just going to go here a little deeper. She failed to realize the connection between the security she was enjoying needing to be maintained by supporting her people in their moment of crisis. Folks, what is going on in the battle in Israel and the Middle East, beloved, it is not about oil. It is not about land. It is not about ethnicity. It is a spiritual battle about whose name is going to be lifted up in that region. And it absolutely has everything to do with you and I. And so time after time, Mordecai sends message after message to Esther, and she doesn't get it, and she doesn't listen, and she doesn't awaken, and she stays busy and distracted and self-absorbed. Until all of a sudden, please look with me at verse 14. Verse 14, Mordecai sends one final message in verse 14. He says, Esther, if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will come from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. But who knows that you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Would you look at the scripture right there? It's important. I want to show you something. Who knows but that you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Verse 15. Then Esther. Stop. Then Esther. Now look again at verse 14. Who has come to the kingdom knows that you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Do you see the question mark at the end of the word this? Do you see it? It's not a trick question. Do you see the question mark at the end of the word? Do you see the words then, Esther? Do you see the space between the question mark and then, Esther? Do you see the space? That's where you are right now. That's where you are right now. Esther, who knows? But that the pain and the difficulty and the challenges and the good and the bad of your life that have brought you to this place right now are part of a master plan that you haven't fully understood or fully discerned. But I'm trying to get you to awaken, Esther, that God has put you right here, right now, because He needs you to cooperate with Him. And God is saying today to Tom and to Linda and to Susan and to Chad, to Mark and to Anthony and to everyone here in this room, the good, the bad, the ugly, the difficult, the beautiful. God is saying to harvest time corporately. Who knows but that you have been placed in Greenwich, Connecticut for such a time as this. Not to sit on the bylines and the bystands of history and spectate, but to come out into the center stage of the will and purpose of God for your life. And to be who God has called you to be. Who knows that you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then verse 15, then Esther. But the Esther in verse 15 onward is a completely different Esther than the one we saw before. She is no longer the scared, insecure, orphaned girl. No, she has come into the fullness of her calling and purpose. And she understands that she has a mission to accomplish. Then Esther. Very quickly, five things that happened for Esther. I'm going to go quick. Can I have 5 minutes? Raise your hand if I can have 5 minutes. 5 minutes is okay? All right, raise your hand. 5, 10, 15, 20. Okay, we're good. Very quickly, five things that happened for Esther at that moment. Number one, Esther recognized the reality of her situation. She was no longer in distraction. She was no longer in denial. Esther woke up and realized the reality of what is going on. And if we do not wake up and recognize that the twin evils of radical secular humanism and militant Islam threaten the very way of life of ours in America and the West, beloved, we're deaf. We've got to wake up to the reality of the battle that faces us in this hour. Esther awakened to the reality of her situation. Number two, quickly, Esther cried out to the Lord. Verse 16, go gather together the Jews in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. Esther's here at the greatest crisis of her life. And what does she do? She stands up and says, oh my goodness, we need to have a board meeting. Oh my goodness, somebody find out how much is in the treasury. Somebody hire a PR consultant. No, she called a prayer meeting. She called a prayer meeting. Why? Because she understood the battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spiritual rulers of wickedness in high places. And what is at stake is we've got to change things in the spirit first before they're changed on the ground. Esther called a prayer meeting. Number three, Esther prepared for her even though moment. When this is done, I will go into the king, even though it is against the law. Would you say even though? Even though. Come on, say even though. Even though. She prepared for a moment where her belief was going to cost her something. I'm going to stand up for what I believe in, even though it may not be popular at work. Even though I may be discriminated against at school. Even though my family might not like the choices I'm making. Esther prepared for her even though moment. Beloved, newsflash, the day of comfortable Christianity is over. We are coming to a moment where being a believer in Jesus and believing that book is going to cost us something in this nation. And Esther prepared for her even though moment. Number four. Esther had great courage. Esther said, and if I perish, I perish. She counted the cost. As our beloved friends around the world today are counting the cost of what it means to be a believer, laying down their lives, she counted the cost. And finally, number five, Esther received divine strategy. The Lord spoke to her and said, this is how you're going to build. This is how you're going to advance. Just like the Lord is and will continue and will increase. I feel the Holy Spirit Can I ask the pastoral staff and any board members or trustees who are here just to stand quickly? Pastoral staff and any board members or elders, I don't know how you would call them here, but any of those that are here, quickly stand. Would you extend your hands to them quickly? We're going to pray over them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we announce today an increase of divine apostolic revelation for the future of this house. Father, in the name of Jesus, we release the keys of the kingdom to these who are leading as elders in this house, that today, Holy Spirit, you will bring dreams, visions, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, words of prophecy, that this house will be led by the cloud of the glory of God's presence in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. Esther received divine strategy from the Lord. Beloved friends, welcome to the club of the unqualified. I am a bald guy from Buffalo, New York. What in the world business I have doing meeting with the past 5 prime ministers of Israel, speaking at the House of Lords in London, Senator Lieberman calling me last week saying I'd be thrilled to write an endorsement for your next book. I have no idea. I didn't go to the right school. I wasn't born to the right family. I don't have a clue. I kind of played the piano a little bit. But I said yes to God. And I kept saying yes to God. And in this hour, God is looking for ordinary, everyday people who will say yes to him and partner with him with divine strategy to change history. Your life is more important than you realize. That's why the enemy has tried to mess you up and take you out. Your life has more impact than you've yet understood, and your life corporately has far more impact than you could understand. So stand firm in your awakened calling as an Esther bride to come into the place of divine positioning. Holy Spirit, I bless my brothers and sisters today. Lift your hands to heaven. Father, I bless them in the name of Jesus. I pray today for divine alignment and favor to increase upon this house. Father, that whatever we perceive as our lack of education, our lack of family connections, our lack of whatever it is, fill in the blank, God, you are more than capable of turning every deficit into an abundant, abundant blessing. Right now, we say yes to you. Just give your yes to the Lord right now. God, we say yes to you and to your strategy for us. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, before we leave today, I want to invite you all to come to Israel with me. So we have a bus outside waiting to take us to JFK. On your way to Israel, we want to invite you to partner with us. We're going to take you to Israel right now. This is an outreach we have going on in Israel that is touching both Jews and Arabs. God doesn't love the Jewish people any more than he loves the Arab peoples. God is an equal opportunity lover. And he loves all peoples. And we are reaching out with so many programs, but one of the most basic is meeting one of the most basic needs of feeding the hungry and the poor in Israel. And thank you for your partnership and friendship in this. Take a look at what's happening in Israel. God bless you.
God bless you. This is Robert Stearns, and we are here right at the shores of the Sea of Galilee. If you could see right behind me over there, we're looking at the Sea of Galilee. And we are here at one of the feeding centers for our Faith Plus Works Equals Change program. We are here at one of the feeding centers here in Israel. Our group has just arrived, and we are right now in the back preparing meals for the needy who will come in just about an hour for lunch. What does it mean to you to be here as a believer and be able to do something practical in the land?
It is incredible. It is putting faith and action together.
Right.
And it's my heart.
Part of our Eagles Wings family, part of our Eagles Wings team. Eric, you are here on your first trip to Israel. You've never been here before. But as part of the Eagles Wings community, you are praying for the peace of Jerusalem every day.
Right.
What does it feel like for you to not just be praying now for an idea, but to be here in the land and to be making a practical difference. How has it been for you being here the first time?
I mean, it's been great. I've been had the chance to connect those things that I read in the Bible about and those things that we get taught every single day. To come here and see it just connects it all together.
Hey, we want to thank you for standing with the poor of Israel. We are so blessed to be partnering with Mayor Panim, an awesome organization here in Israel. And together as Eagles Wings, as the Day of Prayer for the Peace of Jerusalem, we are making a difference here in the land. The food that is being prepared right here is food that you have purchased. Your giving, your sacrifice, your gift has purchased this food that is about to be fed to hungry people. Benjamin Kiriate, one of the heroes of Israel, who fought in the war, was a prisoner of war in Syria, and then moving on in his life came to be mayor of Tiberias, and now is very involved helping all of the work of bringing forth this feeding of the poor here in the land.
There are many people in need, and that project will enable us to feed them all over Israel.
Thank you to our friends and partners. You're making this possible, and together, faith and works equals change. God bless you. You assume and think that there would be Christians coming from around the world to help you launch this project and work in the kitchens?
We know that we have wonderful Christian friends. The things, by the way, that we are doing is not only for Jews. We have in all our places, we have Jews, we have Christians, we have Muslims, we have Jews. Everyone is welcome. We never
Fantastic.
Ask what is the origin of the people that are in need. If someone is a human being
Amen.
And is in need,
Amen.
We are there and do our best in order to help.
Well, and that's the heart of God, to meet practical needs, to help in real life situations, to reach out in love to anyone who is in need. For your beautiful six children, for your grandchild, and for the many grandchildren who will come. You are not alone. You are not alone. God is with you, and the people of God are with you.
Aren't you so glad that the Lord sent Pastor Robert to bring us this awesome word today? How many of you would like to go to Israel with Pastor Rob sometime? That'd be fun. How many of you would like Pastor Rob to come back for a night of worship sometime? Amen. We're going to share in one final act of worship today, and that is to sow a seed into Eagles Wings ministry and to Pastor Rob's ministry. He's getting ready, gearing up to take his team back to Israel in just a few weeks to do the work that you're seeing here up on the screen, to meet with political leaders. And he'll be leading worship again at the Feast of Tabernacles celebration this year. And we want to sow a seed into this ministry. I want to ask the ushers if they would come, and if you need an offering envelope, they can pass an offering envelope to you. If you're making out a check, we'd ask you to make it out to Harvest Time Church. We're going to put everything together and pass it on to Eagles Wings.